The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. So again, the gospel writer here of Matthew, he writing down or recording the words of Yeshua, the words of Jesus, saying that many will be deceived and deceive many. And then he tells you in Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12, many shall be offended, there'll be betrayal, and then they'll be hated by one another. And it says that false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So we see here, he talks about deception. He talks about betrayal. He talks about offense. And he talks about false prophets. Now, this again, this is in the New Testament. Right here in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. I want to go ahead and bring that up here. Acts 20 verses 29 through 30. This is the Apostle Paul speaking in the book of Acts. Listen what he says here, quote, I know that after my departure, listen what he says, fierce wolves or ravenous wolves is what the King James says, will come in among you. He's talking about in the church, will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. Somebody say twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. I want to read this one more time. Again, this is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. The Apostle Paul warns the flock, or he warns the church here. He says, I know. He didn't say, I perceive that, or I believe, or it could. He says, I know for a fact that after my departure, because again, the Apostle Paul was an apostle who was responsible for overseeing the early church. Many of the churches that were planted by the Apostle Paul here, he overseen them. And he says, I know that after my departure, ravenous wolves will come in among you. Among who? The church. Not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men. So notice where these men will come from. They will arise among the church, among the flock, and they will speak twisted things. They will contort things. They will twist scripture, and with the intent to draw away disciples after them. That's the Apostle Paul. Now, guys, listen to me. That is happening. That's been happening all the way back when the book of Acts was written, when the early church was formed, when the early church was established, and it went forward even with the early church fathers talked about this, and it's been going on. But according to the Bible, it's going to happen worse and wax worse and worse as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. Listen what Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. This is Proverbs, and I apologize, guys, that I don't have all these scriptures up on the screen like I did last time. But again, it's there. Again, you can follow along with me. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Listen what he says. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. Let me say that again. Discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. Listen what he says. To deliver you from the way of evil and from the man who speaks perverse things, and from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Let me say that again. To leave the paths of righteousness or uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Notice here that the writer of Proverbs, which was Solomon, said there will be those who will leave the path of uprightness. Again, you can't leave something unless you were first a part of something. I always use this illustration. If my flight departed from LaGuardia Airport in New York and it arrived in Florida, there had to be a departure before there was an arrival. And the writer of Proverbs says they will leave. They were once part and walking in a path of uprightness and righteousness, but they left that path in order to walk in a different path or darkness. Because I'm telling you, why do I keep emphasizing this? Because there's denominations out there that teach and believe that a believer are people who are walking in righteousness, walking with the Lord, walking in faith, cannot depart from the faith. But the Bible teaches contrary to that. And I've got scripture to back this up. Listen, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 9, and 11. He says, listen to this. I want to read this. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So here the Apostle Paul calls out a man who was walking with the Apostle Paul. He professed the faith. He was walking according to the gospel. He was ministering along the Apostle Paul, but he says that Demas, and he calls him out and says, has forsaken me. Or in other words, he left the path of uprightness and he is now gone in the path of the world and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Go get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me for ministry. Now, then he writes in 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. Listen to this. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies that have been spoken over you. So that, and this is a different translation here that I'm reading, but this is 1 Timothy 1. Let me just go ahead and pull up. I've got my Bible here. I'll pull this up. I want to read this from the New King James, a little bit easier to understand. I like the way it translates this verse a little bit better. Let me read this here. For this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, or that has been spoken over you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Listen to this, having faith and a good conscience. Now, I'm going to get you to repeat this with me. Having faith and a good conscience. Why am I telling you to repeat that? Listen to this. Which some, having rejected, what did they reject? Faith and good conscience. Some have rejected this concerning the faith. Listen to this. Have suffered shipwreck. Now, what did he say? Concerning the faith, they have suffered shipwreck. Now, Hymenaeus and Alexander, according to, if you study this out, were men in the early church in Ephesus who Paul the Apostle addressed, and he addressed them as suffering shipwreck regarding the faith. He names them by name and said that they had suffered shipwreck in regards to the faith. Now, again, I want to emphasize this. They were part of the early church. They were walking with the Apostle Paul. They were ministering with the Apostle Paul. They traveled with him. They were a part of the early church. But it says here that they suffered shipwreck. Now, I want to go to 2 Timothy. Now, before we go there, how did they suffer shipwreck? We're going to get to that. That's where we're going to go. I'm going to show you the iceberg that was responsible for them suffering shipwreck. But there was two major things before they hit this quote unquote iceberg that caused the ultimate demise. See, watch this. Having faith and good conscience are two major components of keeping you from suffering shipwreck. Let me say that again. Having faith and good conscience, walking in faith, reading the word, exercising the word, putting the word into play, fasting, prayer, getting into the presence of God, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some. When you're doing all these things, you're walking out your faith. You're exercising your faith. And when you do that, you will walk in good conscience. Because if you're obeying the word, you're obeying his commandments, you're obeying his precepts, then you're walking uprightly before the Lord. Thus, your conscience will bear witness of this. But watch this. But if you start getting to a place where you allow the enemy to cause you to veer off course, you don't need to read the word today. You don't need to go to church today. Listen, this is how it starts. Nobody wakes up serving the Lord. Nobody wakes up that has backslid from the Lord. Yes, I believe in backsliding. Nobody wakes up one day and says, you know what? I no longer want to go to church. I no longer want to give to the Lord. I no want to serve the Lord. I no longer want to read the Bible. I no longer believe in the Lord. Nobody ever wakes up like that. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. I'm going to tell you something. It's when we allow our faith to be hit. When our faith suffers, then our conscience suffers. And I'm going to show you and explain in more detail. So just hang on for a second. Because I know some of y'all are like, well, what's the iceberg? That's what we're going to get to. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:17, 2 Timothy, the second book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 17. Let me read this to you. 2 Timothy 2:17. Watch this. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about the Apostle Paul, who's addressing two men in the early church who have suffered shipwreck, and he names them by name, and it says here, I'm going to go up to verse 14. This is 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of their hearers. Be diligent. Listen to this. To present yourselves approved to God. Listen, I'm not seeking your approval. I'm seeking his approval. And the Apostle Paul told me in his writings to be diligent to present myself approved by him, not approved by you. I'm not asking for your approval. I'm asking and seeking for his approval. I didn't check with you today to see if whether or not I can preach what I'm preaching to you today, because if I can find it in the word, then it's been approved by God, regardless of whether you accept it, regardless of whether you like it, or whether you think it's good preaching or not. Watch this. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Here it is, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now listen to this next part, verse 16. But shun, despise, reject profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Now, what's he talking about? Let's read on. And their message will spread like cancer in the body. Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, I probably mispronounced those, but we're gonna read on here. In other words, here's two men he names here are of this sort. Again, listen, nobody wants to name drop when it comes to false prophets and false teachers and heretics, but the Apostle Paul had no problem name dropping them in the early church and called them out by name and said and warned the church, these are wolves, these are heretics, these are charlatans, and you need to shun their teachings, run from their teachings, and avoid them. Let's see what he said. He said, their message is spreading like cancer. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, what in the world was their message? Listen, he tells you here, verse 18. This is 2 Timothy 2:18. These men have strayed concerning the truth. They have strayed concerning the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the foundational, fundamental truth of the gospel. Paul over and over says in his writings, if any man comes to you, he says, if anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel than what we have preached, who is we? We is the Apostle Paul. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the writings of Philemon. It's the writings of Jude. It's the writings of John the Revelator in the book of Revelation. It's talking about the books of Timothy. It's talking about the book of Titus. It's talking about the book of Corinthians. The letters that were written to the church of Thessalonica, all the New Testament writings of the apostles. He said, if any man comes to you preaching any other gospel, he says, count them accursed. He said, even if an angel from heaven comes and preaches any other gospel, count them accursed. And he says here in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, to his letter to Timothy, he says, these men have strayed concerning the truth. And listen what they were going around saying, quote, that the resurrection is already past, or the resurrection has already taken place. That's what they were spreading around the New Testament. Listen, guys, this got so bad that the Apostle Paul had to write to the church of Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul had to write to the church of Thessalonica and assure them that they had not missed, the coming of the Lord, because there was a rumor spreading. I'll let you guess how that got spread. And he's telling you how that got spread. It's called false doctrine. And it spread in the early church. And it spread so much so that it went from church to church. And here in the church of Thessalonica, word got back to the Apostle Paul that there was people in the church that were freaking out because they thought the Lord had come back and they were left behind. And so Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And listen to what he says. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul was assuring the church of Thessalonica. He's saying, guys, listen, I know your labor in the Lord. I know your walk with God. I know that you have thrived. You are striving. I know your faith. I know your conduct. And I know the doctrine that you've held to. You do have no need to fear that you have been left behind, that the return of the Lord has come and you have missed it, for you know perfectly well. And he says, and I've already told you. Listen, let me read another scripture to you. Let me read something else here in 2 Thessalonians. Now, brethren, concerning, this is his second letter to the same church. He assures them again. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the context was. It was concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. I believe that's a rapture verse. You can disagree with me if you want, but that's okay. Listen to what he says. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind, troubled by either spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come, past tense. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin, that's the Antichrist, is revealed. So Paul is telling them again, the church, listen, the coming of the Lord has not happened regardless if these knuckleheads are preaching in the church that the coming of the Lord has already happened. It has not happened. And he tells them there's some things that's got to happen, church, before the return of the Lord. And that is, there's going to become a falling away. The man of sin's going to be revealed. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Those three things, listen, by the way, if you want to know how close we are, the falling away is happening right now as we speak at breakneck speed. The great falling away, the apostasy, the falling away of the church, that's happening right now. Listen, I know it's been happening since the early church, but it's happening on an exponential level because things are happening now in our lifetime that never happened back then. And we're seeing this at breakneck speed. So that tells you that there's two major things that are about to happen. Peace and safety, sudden destruction comes, and the Antichrist revealing himself, the son of man, the son of perdition. And if you, and I could go further, I could show you in 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says, but you know that there's a restrainer that's holding the man of sin from being revealed. And when he who is now restraining is taken out of the way, then the man of sin shall be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. I believe the restrainer is the church. Why? How do I believe that? Because again, when I study this line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, the early church, right, when I pull everything together, nothing else makes sense to be the restrainer that's holding back the Antichrist. Guys, the only reason why all hell hasn't broke loose globally all over the world on a level that we've not seen before ever is because the church is still here, present tense, as a restrainer. We're still praying. We're still interceding. We're still fasting. If you don't think the church has influence, why do you think the Lord said, and by inspiration of the writer of Chronicles, he says in the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and wicked ways, he says, then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land. Listen, revival, awakening, healing, restoration, reconciliation, and refreshing of a nation is all contingent upon what the church does, not what the president does. Come on, somebody. Not what the government does, not what culture does, but what the church does. We, the church, have the authority and the power, come on, to make or break nations. Behold, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And he's when they asked, how should we pray? He said, pray this, Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have authority. Come on. We can change things if we got hungry enough, desperate enough, and we begin to press in enough. But let me get back to this. Hymenaeus and Alexander are examples of those who reject, listen to this, the true doctrine and begin to heed false doctrine. Let me say that again. Hymenaeus and Alexander are examples of those who reject true doctrine and follow false doctrine. Thus, the major iceberg that is causing believers to shipwreck the faith is false doctrine in the church. Let me go to 2 Timothy again. In 2 Timothy 2:17, the Apostle Paul used two men as an example, and they were spreading false doctrine in the church, and the church was eating it up. Now listen to this. Let me go to 2 Timothy 2:17. I'm going to go back over here to 2 Timothy 2:17. All right, let's go back over here. I read this a while ago, but we're going to read it again. He says, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase more to more ungodliness. And their, and by the way, all false doctrine, listen to me, ultimately leads to the abandoning of your faith, searing your conscience, which ultimately leads to ungodliness. If you're taking notes, let me say that again. All false doctrine ultimately leads you to shipwrecking your faith, searing your conscience, because you'll begin to do things you never did before. You begin to lower your standard. You begin to do things that you would have never done before. And then eventually that leads to an increase of ungodliness. And the Apostle Paul says that right here in 2 Timothy. It says their message will spread like cancer. Listen to this. He said they went around saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some, not all, some. Who are the some? The some are those who are not rooted and grounded in the word of truth, and they are blown by every wind of doctrine. Oh, let me, if you don't mind, I'd like to preach about 2 minutes on being blown by every wind of doctrine. See, one of the things that God drove into me when I first got saved 21 years ago. By the way, my 21 year anniversary was on June 2nd, just a couple days ago. I turned 21 years in the Lord. One of the first things I did, I began to dig deep in His Word. I ate up His Word, absorbed His Word. I wanted to rightfully divide the Word. I just spent hours and hours reading the Word and absorbing the Word. Why? Because the Bible says to be found rooted and grounded in the faith so that you're not blown by every wind of doctrine. Listen, when you see believers in the church that jump from doctrine to doctrine to doctrine, they once believed this, the fundamental doctrine, the fundamental beliefs, the writings of the early church fathers, the New Testament church writings, they believe in this, they heed this, they obey this, but then some new cat comes along and he's got another wind of doctrine that he brings. He brings a false doctrine in, and it's a feel-good doctrine. It's a doctrine that doesn't cost you anything. It's a doctrine that says you don't have to forsake things. It's a doctrine that says that you don't have to crucify things. It's a doctrine that says you don't have to die daily. It's a doctrine that says you don't have to make any sacrifice. It's a doctrine that says you don't have to abstain from worldliness and ungodliness and the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. It's a doctrine of devils and demons. And I'm telling you, Christians around, not just America, but around the world are eating false doctrine up. There is false doctrines out there that we can name: preterism, replacement theology, all kinds of doctrines out there. By the way, preterism, the doctrine of preterism teaches that all the writings of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 about the signs of the coming of the Lord, they teach, believe, and spread this doctrine that these events all took place and they all happened in 70 AD, which is absolutely ridiculous. And it has spread. There was a time when in the church, when such foolishness and such doctrine would never be heeded and never be absorbed. But I'm telling you, I know people personally that now believe that. So therefore, watch this. There's no longer an urgency to pursue holiness and righteousness and uprightness. So their lifestyles have begun to change. It's become very loose. They do things that they would have never done in times past. They partake of things they would have never partaken of in times past. They get involved in relationships they would have never got involved in relationships. They go places they would have never went to in times past. You say, well, you sound like you're preaching legalism. Listen, it's only legalism to those who don't want to obey the word of God. Listen, I'd rather be called legalistic any day than to be called a worldly Christian. You know, the Bible says that the love of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things are of the world and that are not of God and not of the Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But we're seeing believers now that have formed doctrines that permit them to do these things and nobody blinks an eye. That's a good point. Somebody on our live stream, Melissa, said, we have people in the church that spend all day long arguing about the shape of the earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But no, we want to argue whether the earth is round or if it's flat. This is what I'm talking about, guys. Foolish babblings. Foolishness. And you say, well, I believe the earth's flat, Brother Ricky. Okay, good for you. But because here's the deal. I don't really care if the earth is flat or if it's round, but because the Bible says the earth is going to be renovated by fire. And I'm not concerned about the circumference and the shape of the earth, but I am concerned about the souls that are on the earth. God called me to win people with the gospel, not by trying to convince them what shape the earth is in. Oh, I'm going to make some people mad today on the broadcast, but I'm trying to help you not hit an iceberg that's going to shipwreck your faith. Let me read on. Paul said, through false doctrine, they are overthrowing the faith of some. The some are those who don't have a solid foundation in the Word of God. This is why I'm always constantly harping on discipleship. The church desperately needs discipleship. Listen, sermons are great. A series is great. We want to get people and we're going to do a new series on this. And we're going to do a new series on this. And this is going to be our theme. And we're going to do this. But nobody's getting discipled. So you've got church people in the church that have been saved, but there's no discipleship and we're losing them because they're not getting equipped. And the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, he talks about the elementary principles of Christ. And there's about 6 or 7 elementary principles that I guarantee you a lot of people on this broadcast today have probably never even heard preached or taught on in your church. And Paul calls them elementary principles. All right, now listen to this. Let me read a little bit more here. Paul writes to Timothy to express the purpose of exhorting him to fight the good fight, holding to faith and holding to a good conscience. And remember, Timothy was taking over as a pastor and he was a young pastor. And Paul warns Timothy against false doctrine and myths and conspiracies that have infiltrated the church and warned him to remain true to sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel. Oh, come on. In 2 Timothy 2:18, Paul says that these two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, departed from the truth. they begin to say that the resurrection had already taken place and it was resulting in the destruction of the faith of many in the church. Here's what's interesting. The Apostle Paul likened false doctrine to gangrene or cancer that spreads in the body. The word shipwrecked here is interesting. He says they shipwrecked the faith. In other words, it's a picture of veering off course away from doctrine or sound doctrine and drifting into dangerous, uncharted waters filled with rocks and debris that ultimately end up in shipwreck. Paul clearly links faith with a good conscience. Now here, I want to skip down some of my notes here. It's good to note here that Hymenaeus and Alexander, again, this is another individual, had tossed out good conscience that comes with proper belief. In other words, they begin to sear their conscience with a hot iron and begin to walk in unrighteousness. So this is what I wrote there. So those who adhere to false doctrine and teachings have to, listen to me, they have to willfully choose to ignore their conscience. This is scary, guys. Now let me get down here to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 4, 1, 3. Now the Holy Spirit expressively speaks that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. Here we go. So again, Paul is emphasizing here, some will depart from the faith and give heed to, or they will embrace deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. Do you see that, guys? Notice that there's a sequence of events. They turn from the truth to the lie. You can find this in Romans 1. And when they do this, they're willfully searing their conscience. And now they begin to embrace false doctrine. They begin to lower their standards. They begin to change their lifestyle. They begin to lower their standards. They begin to live a lifestyle contrary to the gospel. The Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. Listen, let me read this. This is what Paul said. For we are God's fellow workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. Listen to this warning. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now stop for a second. Time out. Again, Paul said, he warned about the time would come when there would come in the church ravenous wolves, and he said they would preach another Jesus. Oh, they would call it Jesus. They would say it's of God. The Lord said, the Lord showed me, the Lord revealed to me. But he said they would have a different spirit, and it would have another gospel that was not preached by the early apostles. And the Apostle Paul said, I grieve and I fear that you very well may put up with it. That's in Corinthians and in the book of Galatians, he talked about that. So this is why he warned that he said, I am laying the foundation of Jesus Christ. And he tells us as builders, take heed how you build upon it. Did you know? Listen, if you go around spreading false doctrine, you are going to be held accountable to the Lord for that. If you cause someone to go astray, you're going to be held accountable to that. Why do you think the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament? He talks about eating and drinking. He talks about these things. And he said, if what I eat or what I drink causes my brother or my sister to sin or causes them to stumble, then I will choose not to eat or drink that in front of them. So listen, let me put that in modern vernacular. There's things that you can watch on television that I probably can't watch. And there's things that I can probably watch that you can't watch. But you listen, but if you expect everyone to be on your same level of maturity, you can cause a young brother or young sister to fall. And because of that, I will be held accountable to that. Oh, I can go a lot deeper in that and really make some folks mad there, but I can tell I need to move on from there. Listen, let me close with this. In the book of Acts, it all boils down to this. Paul and Silas was preaching in the book of Acts, and it says when they came to a synagogue of the Jews in Berea, where there was a group of believers there called the Bereans. And the Bible says that when Paul and Silas would preach the gospel to them, that these men would take what they heard and they would go home and they would study the scriptures to see whether or not the things that Paul and Silas were preaching were found in the Word of God. Come on, we need to get some Bereans back in the church today. We need to stop listening to stuff that doesn't line up with the Bible. Well, but they can spit and holler and shout, and they got a sweat rag, and they can huck and buck, and they do a Pentecostal jig. Listen, I don't care how loud they shout or how high they can jump. If what they're preaching and what is coming out of their mouth, if it doesn't align with this Bible, then I don't want to hear it. Yeah, but they're on Christian television. It don't matter. Does it line with this? Yeah, but they got private jets. But does it line with this? Yeah, but they got a million followers. But do what they preach line up with this? Yeah, but they are the best. They have books that were best-selling novels. But does it line up with the Word of God? Well, so-and-so got healed in their meeting. Does what they say and preach line up with the Word of God? Listen, I'm in the book. Many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do great and mighty things in your name? Did we not preach in your name? Did we not perform miracles and signs and wonders in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, let me make some of y'all mad that I haven't made mad yet. Jesus, in that verse right there, he's not talking to unbelievers. Listen, unbelievers don't cast out devils and they don't perform miracles and they don't heal people. That verse there, despite what some denominations teach you, well, he's talking to unbelievers. I've never once, when I served the devil for 23 years, never, never once did I see an unbeliever cast out a devil in Jesus' name. In fact, I can show you in the Bible in the New Testament where there were seven sons of Sceva that tried to come and cast out devils. And they said, in the name of Paul and in the name of Jesus, or in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, they try to cast out devils. And it didn't turn out too good for them, because they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So again, in context, that verse there is not speaking to unbelievers. Jesus is talking about believers who once walked according to the faith. They had a good conscience. They were in relationship with him. They were walking with him. They were on fire with him. They were casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, and performed great and mighty works. But something happened along the way, and they departed from the faith, and they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and their conscience became seared with a hot iron. iron. And here's the frightening thing about it. They continued doing what they always knew to do. And because they had a gift and because they had a calling, and the Bible says all gifts and callings are without repentance or they're irrevocable. And because they were able to stand up on the platform and exercise their gift and work the crowd and gather a following, they thought that they were right with God, when in reality, they will stand before God and he'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Listen, I can take you to the book of Revelation, and Jesus says that there will be, twice he said it, there will be those in the church that are preaching and teaching and are a part of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And he says, it's a doctrine which I hate. He says that there will be a Jezebel that will be in the church. She'll be in the church. She'll be comfortable in the church. She'll be part of the staff. She'll be part of the congregation. She'll probably be on the prayer team. She'll probably be a head intercessor, and she'll call herself a prophetess, and she will be deceiving and seducing men in the church and causing them to stray. It's in the Bible. Read it. I'm telling you guys, I don't care what the church down the road says is okay or permissible. If the Bible calls it an abomination, if the Bible calls it sin, I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what the president of the United States says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the calendar date says. I don't care what society says, Hollywood says. I don't care if it's popular and if it's what the kids are doing in school and if it's what the new progressive church is doing today. I don't care. I don't give a rip. Listen, I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And I believe he is a God who changes not. And if it was a sin in the time that the Bible was written, if it was a sin in the Old Testament, I believe it's a sin in the New Testament. And if I believe it's a sin in the New Testament, I believe it's a sin today, because the church is still alive today. The church is still operating in the earth today. Oh, I know there's, according to a new poll, that there is a very small percentage of the church that is the remnant that still believes in the whole Bible, but they're still here. Come on, somebody. There's still a remnant. I want to encourage you today. Don't let these things discourage you. Don't let them get you downhearted, because I want to come along today, just like the Lord came along when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal and he ran into a cave and hid because Jezebel was chasing him. The angel of the Lord showed up and said to him, "Get up, get your head back in the game, get back in the fight, because I have preserved a remnant in Israel that have not bowed their knee to Baal." I'm telling you, I'm looking at some folks watching this broadcast live on Facebook. I believe there's some folks listening to me on podcasts on the other end of this microphone. I believe there's some folks out there and on YouTube that are listening today, that are watching today, and they are like me. They're grieved and they're sickened and they're disheartened by what they see going on in the church. And brothers and sisters, maybe it's hit home with you. Maybe it's your neighbors. Maybe it's folks in your church. Maybe it's family members. Maybe it's people that you know dearly that once had a strong relationship with God. They were walking faithfully with God. They had a good conscience and good faith, but somewhere along the way, come on, an Alexander and another false doctrine, our false teacher has come along and has swayed them and pulled them off course. And they're headed for an iceberg. They're headed for something that's going to cause them to shipwreck the faith. I need you to share this with them. I need you to show them why it's important to get rooted and grounded in the faith so that they are not blown by every wind of doctrine. Listen, it's not popular to fast today, but come on. But it'll get you victory in some area. It's not popular to preach on reading the Word of God, because that's boring and that's not That's not exciting. It's not popular to talk about devotional. It's not popular to talk about abstinence and abstaining and walking uprightly and consecrating yourself and holiness and righteousness and truth and integrity and doing these things. I know it's not popular in the church today, but I'm telling you, if Paul had to do this and he had to fight the good fight of faith, if Jesus had to go and fast in the wilderness, if Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, if the early church had to walk like this, then what makes you and I think that we can get saved and sit down and live a life of ease, never have to fight spiritual warfare, never have to fight any devils off, never have to read our Bible, not have to fast, not have to go to church, not have to crucify and put to death the works of our flesh? Listen, you have been deceived if you believe, if you are following a gospel that tells you that you don't have to make those sacrifices. I'm going to tell you right now, you are already on the course of being shipwrecked. I'm going to say it like this. Give me that old time religion. Let me go back to the old paths. Yeah, I said it. I don't care anymore. Listen, I'm so tired. I used to walk on eggshells about preaching certain things because I didn't want to get labeled legalistic or religious, but I don't give a rip anymore. I don't care. I'd rather go back to the old paths of the church that once was, it was on fire, full of the Holy Ghost, could cast out devils, raise the dead, and heal the sick. Come on, that had the fire branding, preaching, and teaching that we once had in the church. I'd rather have that any day of the week than this sissified, pansy, lily-livered, come on, no spine, watered-down, progressive, faithless, powerless Christianity that we've got in the church today. Come on, is there anybody out there today that's ready for the Christianity of the Bible? Who's ready to get back to this word? I'm done today, guys. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm just telling you, I'm done preaching today. I believe I've shared everything that I believe needs to get across. I want to share with you some stuff today on how to follow our ministry. Listen, if you like this kind of preaching and teaching and you've not been convinced that it's religious or legalistic, listen, we want to invite you to follow us because you're going to get more of it. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Listen, if you like preaching on sin, preaching on repentance, if you believe in the old time Holy Ghost, if you believe, come on, if you believe that the church is still here to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, come on, that's what we preach, teach, and believe. You're going to find that's what we teach and believe here at End Time Headlines. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. That's where you can find us. Listen, if you've not downloaded our free app, please get that because that's where you're going to find all of our news, our headlines from a prophetic perspective, and you're going to find preaching, teaching, podcast. Listen, we don't always preach it. This week, I just wanted to encourage some people. Last week, we did all these podcasts on everything from UFO deceptions to famines and pestilences and earthquakes and birth pangs. We talked about all the signs of the coming of the Lord, the end times. But this week, I wanted to bring exhortation. I wanted to bring a word of encouragement. It's going to change week after week. We are spirit-filled and spirit-led. I don't get my sermons off the internet 12 months in advance and know everything I'm going to preach for the next 12 months. I've never done that and never will. I believe if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you have a strong enough relationship with God, you can get in your devotion word in your private time with the word and he'll give you a fresh rhema right now word of God. And that's what we do. So again, go to the App Store, End Time Headlines, just type it in. If you're on Apple, you're on Google, you can find our app, download it, get it into your hands. It's free. You're going to find all of our headlines. You're going to find our podcast. You're going to find our YouTube channel. You're going to find all that there. And we want you to get that into your hands. Again, if this ministry is a continual source of information, revelation, encouragement, exhorting. We want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Listen, everything we do is free. Our messages are free. Our podcasts are free. The app is free. The subscription base is free. Everything is free for you guys. All we ask is if, again, you're blessed by this ministry and the Lord puts it upon your heart, we ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that by setting it up on the app, right there on the app, or you can go to the main website. There's places there you can click on and give electronically. You could set up a monthly partnership or whatever the Lord puts on upon your heart. You can also do it by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, guys, we're going to sign off for today. Again, as you can see, our backdrop is up. This is our new backdrop. I really like it. Let me know your feedback in the comment section below on YouTube, there on Facebook Live. We posted this up on our Facebook page, and a lot of you guys commented on it and said that you really liked it. It gives it a little warm background. Listen, our next phase into our podcast, we're going to get new lighting. So we're going to have better lighting. We're going to get better. We're going to get better sound and better video. So that's coming. We may even have some type of an ETH logo. We don't know yet. I don't know if I'm going to do any of that in the background, but we're going to pray about it. We may just keep it like it is with some good lighting and some video and sound and just roll with that. So whatever the case may be, appreciate you guys, your prayers, your support, your partnership, and just coming on here and being a part of our broadcast weekly. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. Let me pray for you guys before we sign off. We'll be back on here on Monday because it's not a holiday. We'll be back on Monday. Prayerfully, we'll be here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week. That's usually our typical schedules, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We try to do three podcasts or three broadcasts per week. So be watching for that next week. Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice today. God, I pray for if there's any individual today that they have recognized by the Spirit of the Lord that they are veering off course, veering off the Word of God, veering off the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they recognize this today that they've been caught up in false doctrine, they've been caught up in vain babblings and conspiracies and things that are not centered in the Word of God. And Lord, you are veering them back on course. We pray for them today. And Lord, if there's anyone today that's watching or listening and they have family members, friends, neighbors, or acquaintances in the church, and they know for a fact that they have been deceived by a false doctrine and they're a part of this, I come into agreement with you today and pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened and be opened, and that the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit would reveal to them that they have been duped into a false doctrine, and that revelation would come, open their eyes, and break the power of the devil off of them. Because ultimately, Lord, we know by the Word of God that behind that false doctrine is a seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we pray that that power would be broken and be severed off of lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus today that we pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.